Good morning. It's, again, a privilege to stand here. God's good news. This is what the Lord led me to talk about today. I always wake up to the alarm, the radio. And they're on the radio this morning on Daybreak. Don't know if you've ever listened to it. It's loosely religious. And then they do a worship session at 8:30. And the lady that was on doing the talk gave my sermon, really. I thought, well, that's encouraging to know that God is confirming it. And then Lee spoke to the children and gave a lot of my sermon, really. So, I'm so pleased because God is obviously speaking. So I just pray that you'll be open to whatever God wants to say to you today. Christmas, and particularly the Christmas story and the familiar readings, can pass us by sometimes because we're caught up in the whole celebration of it all and what we do to celebrate. So I just want to ask you today to just allow the Lord to speak into your heart. What is he going to say to you today about this Christmas? Christmas has its critics. There are plenty of them in the world. In the world, there are some who hate Christmas because it's got a Christian basis. And so they do Xmas and all that kind of stuff. Some hate Christmas because it makes them feel lonely. This is the time when they feel more lonely than they have done before. In fact, I believe that there are more suicides around Christmas than there are at any other time of year. Some hate Christmas because they're obligated to celebrate. They have to buy presents. They have to disrupt their schedules, and they're glad when it's all over, really. And other religions, some Jews hate Christmas because it reminds them of what Christians feel about the Old Testament, those prophecies of the coming Messiah, and believing that the Messiah has come. And of course, the Jews are still waiting. And so maybe Christmas really rubs them up the wrong way. I believe Muslims, not the average Muslim in the street, but Muslims who rule would abolish Christmas if they ruled our nation today. Jehovah's Witnesses get annoyed about Christmas because they don't believe Jesus is God, and that's the very thing we celebrate about Christmas, that God came down to earth to be with us. And even some Christians dislike Christmas because they say it's derived from Roman Catholicism, Christ and Mass. And so they point out that it's, not a good time to celebrate because Jesus probably wasn't born in December and all this kind of stuff. And where does it say we should celebrate Christ's birth? And Christmas is so commercial, and so people object on that basis. We buy presents for people who don't need stuff. You know, if people been asking you, what do you want for Christmas? And it's so hard to think these days because we have so much along the way. And you, sometimes you even buy things for people you don't like because you've always done it. And you kind of feel as if you have to. Someone once said, we spend money we don't have for people we don't like on presents they don't need. Well, that's a real poor summary of Christmas, isn't it? Well, I hope it's a poor summary of your Christmas. And some would say, well, Jesus came to bring peace and goodwill on the earth, but there isn't much peace and goodwill around. I'm sure at some time or another, most of us have heard some of these arguments, if not all of them, along the way. And some of them have some truth in them, really. We certainly, well, I know, we got to the point we were buying presents for people who didn't need things. And so we certainly started as a family. You know, my brother used to skip my presents And I used to think, what can I buy him that he would really enjoy? Well, he just skitted all the kinds of things that we bought. I mean, that's just his funny sense of humour. So we ended up buying alternative gifts. And so they support a charity for us at Christmas, and we do things for them at Christmas that help other people, because we thought, well, we don't need things. And so whatever aspects of Christmas annoy you in your life, and I guess there are some all along the way that do, it's a fabulous opportunity to announce afresh God's good news. In a world where things are dark, and things were dark in Isaiah's time when he nearly 700 years before Jesus was born announced into the darkness what God had planned. And he said it in Isaiah 9:2 in familiar words that a lot of you will know. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. For those, you will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David and for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. And Isaiah prophesies into these dark times that good news is on the way, that something amazing is going to happen, and it will lift the people out of their oppression and into amazing light and amazing life. And so Isaiah is prophesying this and into real times that were hard. And we can look around our world, and as Jan lovely, really well illustrated before, there are people in our world who are so oppressed because of their faith. There are all kinds of horrible things going on. And I often wonder, I don't like to watch some things that are too graphic and horrible. And I often wonder how God must feel, because he always has to see. He always sees something of the abuse, something of the torture of people. And it's an awful time. He sees the stabbings on the streets of our nation. He sees people who are walking along, suddenly they're not there anymore. And we could look at, certainly in the last 3 or 4 years, our political landscape has been so divisive in our lands. And we can look and we can say, we're in dark times. And just like Isaiah was in dark times, good news is coming. Good news has arrived for each one of us that are sitting here who believe in the Lord. And good news is coming for those who yet don't know him. It's not unlike today, the times that Isaiah was speaking into. And so we need to understand that. And God, just like in Isaiah's time and in the time following, God is looking today for people who will share his good news. He is looking for people. He uses people. He used Isaiah to bring this word to the people. And he's looking for people who will be available to share the good news of Jesus. You know, we can look around at our world and our dark times and we can think, well, I have Jesus and he knows what is going on. He knows what I'm going through and one day I will be with him. But there are so many just in the neighborhoods we live in our families, in our nation, who know nothing of that. And God is looking for people who will share his good news. And I want to ask you this. Who is God asking you to share his good news with this Christmas? Now, you can spend your time buying those presents. You can spend your time making sure you've stocked up on every ounce of food that you'll possibly need over the couple of weeks of Christmas. And you can spend your time worrying if you've got all your cards written and you've sent to everybody. But are you going to just leave a tiny bit of space to say, Lord, who are you asking me to share your good news with this Christmas? Because I want to tell you, there will not be one single person of us, including myself here today, that God isn't asking to share with someone his good news. Bringing to them the good news in what may be their darkness at this point in time. You know, remember back to the time you heard the good news of Jesus. What a difference it made in your life. Wasn't it real? Wasn't it real when Jesus met you for the first time and just showed you something of the amazing life he had lined up for you? Wasn't it real? You heard him then speak to you. When was the last time you heard him speak to you? Do you hear him speaking to you now on a regular basis? Do you hear what he wants to say to you? What he has for you? What job he has, if you like, lined up for you? Are you sensitive to his voice? The Bible tells us that God announces his good news before it happens. It says in Isaiah 42 and verse 9, everything I prophesied has come true, and now I will prophesy again. I will tell you the future before it happens. And God did this. He would always prime those who were open to hear what he had to say. Just as Isaiah's messages had come true before, so Isaiah was prophesying something that was to come. And God does that with people. He wants to tell us what's going to happen. He announced before it happened what he was going to do where Mary was concerned. I mean, imagine if it had just happened and he never said a word to her before it happened. Imagine the confusion and everything else that would have gone in her life. But it says this in Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." And she was confused and disturbed, and she tried to think what the angel could possibly mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her. "For you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary asks the angel, "How can this happen? I am a virgin." And the angel explains even that. You know, when God comes and speaks into our lives, or something, Lord, you know, how are you going to do that? And here the angel goes on to explain, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. I want you to think of that today. The word of God will never fail. I stand on that. I love the word of God. And I am blessed by that. And he speaks to Mary. And he is the angel and is giving her this message of what will happen to her. And it's not just a baby. He tells her what kind of baby. This child is going to be the Son of God. This child is going to be holy. How? He will listen to our questions. God is a father. And he will listen to our questions. She says, how can this be? I'm a virgin. And again, the explanation comes to her. And so the whole plan of God for Mary is announced to her. But he's announcing it to somebody who is favorable, if you like, who's already a person who is open to what he wants to say. Why would God tell people who are not open to what he wants to say? Be open to what God wants to say to you this Christmas. And Mary was open and she responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. So Mary had the news announced to her by an angel. Wow, what a way to receive a message. And again, Joseph in that same position. I mean, he didn't know any of this that was happening to Mary. And certainly he would not have married her in those circumstances. But then Joseph gets a message. And God announces to Joseph, because here again is a man who's ready to listen. He's ready to hear the announcement from God. He's ready to hear God's voice. And Matthew 1:18 said, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man, and he didn't want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her is conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. And all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, took Mary as his wife, but he didn't have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. God announced to Joseph what he was going to do. He didn't leave him in the dark. He was a man that was ready to listen. He announced to wise men. They were men that were ready to listen. They were looking for the King of Kings. And he tells them, it says in Matthew 2, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. And about that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. They knew God's good news, so they came seeking where it was. They wanted to see for themselves what was happening. And he announced to shepherds, the shepherds in the field, they didn't just hear something's happened. It was announced to them because they were ready to to listen. That night in Luke 2:8, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news, and that will be great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." And then suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast horde of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angel had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about, which the Lord has told us about." What is the Lord telling you? And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. God announced to the shepherds his good news. They were there and ready to listen, and they wanted to tell others. And he announced to Simeon. Simeon was a man, and he was in the temple waiting for the Messiah. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, it says in the Bible. But he was waiting for God's Messiah, and he believed that God had told him he wouldn't die before he saw it. And Luke 2:25 says, "At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and he was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel." So many were eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel, but not everybody heard. Not everybody heard, and not everybody heard that announcement from the Lord. The Holy Spirit was on him, on Simeon, and had revealed to him that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And that day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby to Jesus, as the law requires, Simeon was there, and he took the child in his arms, and he praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. As you have promised, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people." And he begins to prophesy. He's a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. And so here again, the message, the good news of Jesus is announced to Simeon, and he was ready to hear it, and he believed God, and the Holy Spirit made clear to him that he wouldn't die before he had seen God's salvation. You know, God bypassed the normal kind of people that you would have thought would have known the message. He bypassed Herod. He hadn't a clue when the message came to him that a king had been born. In Matthew 2, it says, "King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and the teachers of religious law and asked, 'Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?'" You know, God didn't announce it to Herod, and he didn't announce it to the chief priests and the religious leaders. What does that tell you? They weren't listening. They weren't ready to hear God's voice and to get with the plan, if you like. And he didn't announce it to all Jerusalem, because it says all Jerusalem was up in arms. He didn't announce it to them. God speaks to the people who are listening. He didn't announce it to Caesar Augustus or Quirinius or the people of Nazareth and Bethlehem, who had no idea what was going on, and neither did the innkeeper, because he didn't have a space. If you knew a king was going to be born, you'd have made the best room available. And so these people God bypassed, because they weren't ready to listen. They weren't open to what God wanted to say. The people who had open ears and receptive hearts knew what was going on. God had spoken to them. And you know it says in Proverbs 3 and verse 32, "For the Lord detests the perverse, but he takes the upright into his confidence." Isn't that a fabulous thought? That if you are willing to listen, if you are one that follows after God, he'll take you into his confidence. He'll explain to you what he's doing in different situations. I've had this when I've prayed for a particular situation. This is a long time ago now, and I was really praying, and I was praying against what was going to happen because it looked to me like that was the wrong thing. And I just felt as if God was standing in front of me, and he put his hand up and he said, "I've got this under control." He just wanted to show me, you don't need to pray against that. I've got that sorted. You just pray in line with my will. And it's incredible. God takes into his confidence those who are open to hear what he has to say. Just look at the responses of the people that he had announced it to. Mary, I mean, imagine being told that. I mean, it was a total shock to a young girl. And yet, her response in Luke chapter 1 and verse 38, I've lost my page. I've totally lost that. Oh, I've got to go back. Sorry. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. She responded, "May everything you have said about me." She was totally complicit. She was totally ready for what God had for her. She said, "Lord, let it be to me." Joseph did. It says of Joseph, when he woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded. The shepherds, they told. They hurried to the village, found Mary and Joseph, and there was lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone. They went out and shared the good news. They had heard what God had said to them about what was happening, and they went out and shared that and told everything that they had heard. And Simeon said, "I have seen your salvation." And he believed, which you have prepared for all people. As he saw that child, he believed, "This is the Messiah, the Son of God." And the wise men gave. They gave what they had. They opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And God is looking today for the same responses from us. He's looking for us to be those kind of people that have got their ears attuned and they're ready to hear the announcements, whatever it is that he's going to say to us, whatever it is that he's calling us to do. He's looking for those people who are ready and who are wanting to hear what he has to say. And then he's looking for those people who will respond in that same way as the people in the Christmas story responded, to say, "Yes, Lord, let it be to me. Whatever it is you've decided, Lord, I'm up for. I'm going to go for. I'm going to do what you've said. I believe in you. I believe in who you are. And I believe that you know what you're doing. And so I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to give you everything I have. I'm going to lay myself down before you and say, Lord, my life's yours. Whatever you're calling me to do, I'm prepared to do it. However hard it gets, I'm prepared to go for it. I'm prepared to give you everything that I have, all my resources and all my finances and everything else. They're at your disposal. Whatever you're asking me, here it is. Here it is." Are you prepared to respond like that this Christmas? We all get caught up in the flurry of all the rubbishy bits, if you like. I mean, we'd all like celebrations, I know that, and good times and food and all of those things. But in all of that, is there time for him? is the time for him to speak into your heart, to show you what he wants to do with you, to ask you, go and tell. Go and tell those people who are still walking in darkness, those people who so need to see the light. Go and tell somebody. Ask the Lord to lay somebody on your heart. Maybe just even one person that you can reach out to this Christmas with the good news. So that in doing everything else and on all the entertaining and the present buying, you'll also do something that God has asked you to do because you were listening to his voice. He wants me to be open to what he says. He wants me to hear his voice because then he's going to take me into his confidence. He's going to tell me stuff that I didn't know, that only getting to know him would let me know. How are you going to use Christmas this year? I just want you to reflect on it. Maybe reflect on it this week. Are there family members that don't know the Lord or need his touch or you just need to reach out to? My brother is a Christian. I mean, he, as a backslidden Christian, doesn't really want to know anything about the Lord for a long time. He was baptized as a teenager. He's now 7 years younger than me, and I can't think what that is, about 62. And he's not really interested. And to be honest, he's good fun, a good sense of humour, but he never bothers. He doesn't ring from one week's end to the next. He lives on the Wirral. But if I ring, he's fine. And I keep asking him, does his phone have two-way? And he says no. In fact, he's changing his number. He says all this to me. And when I go over there, it's so really nice to see him, but he doesn't bother. Now, I could do the same. I could so easily say, oh, forget it, it's not worth the effort. But you know, and we wouldn't see each other. But I know God's saying that's not the right thing to do, because I know one day, just the right words will change his heart. And so I'm trusting for that, and I'm praying for that. Who is God asking you to reach out to this Christmas? There is somebody close in your life. And I just pray that you would begin to say, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear what you're announcing to me this Christmas. I see what you've done in the past. I want to hear what you're announcing to me because I want to respond in a way that blesses your heart. Amen.